Like to welcome you to the House of Prayer. And I'd like to kind of let you know that our guest here, Pastor Jay, wears many hats. He's a dad, he's a granddad. He's a pastor, he's a counselor, he's a teacher. He's kind of an apostle, a prophet, and evangelization he does all over the nations with an S. So I would like to ask, should we just bow your head with me and just agree in prayer, that the Holy Spirit would release through our brother that which is needed for this house of prayer in this area, and that we would receive the joy that God has prepared in his heart to release to us this night, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So without further ado, Pastor Jay.
Good evening. I'm honored to be with you again. I've been with this group several times, and always feel the presence of the Lord. It's good to be with you. I brought along some summer Bible conference schedules from Pinecrest. I'd like to invite you all to come during the month of July. You'd be blessed if you could come for a day or a week. There's a special week for children and teens to come. You'd be welcome. I also brought Capital Region Transformations. In the Albany area, there are over 24 pastor groups praying all over, across denominational lines, Catholic, Episcopalian, Baptist, and we're meeting regularly and praying, and there's mighty things happening in the Albany area. I'm going to give this to Pastor, and maybe sometime he can show it to you, or you can take it home with you or whatever, but it would encourage you to see that the capital of the Empire State, there's a move of God going on. And we know that England, New England here, God is hovering over. God has set up many little ministries like this all over the Northeast. So as he moves in a powerful way, we have nets to bring the fish in and bring them along in the things of God. Might give you a little recap. We've had a good year at Pinecrest this year. The students really meant the Lord. There's been a wonderful presence of God. And I'd like to urge, if you know someone, they could be 17 or they could be 77, who'd like to come for a part of a year or 2 years to be with us, you're more than welcome to come. I think the oldest student we've had has been 89. So, nobody up to that yet here. And 3 weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C. with my pastor, Brother Wade Taylor, who began Pinecrest. He'll be 83 in August and still in very good health, writing and speaking. And it's wonderful to see someone who's walked with the Lord for many, many years and the insight that they have. What I marvel about him, he's been speaking in my life for 40 years, is when I go there to visit him, he has a Lazy Boy chair in his living room. And when you get all done with a meeting and you're out and you come in late about midnight, he says, you can go, take a rest, and I'll see him sitting in his chair. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Now, I know he goes to bed during the night, but when I get up about 6 in the morning, he's in that chair again. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He learns to wait on the Lord. And I would urge all of you to have strong devotions to wait on the Lord and see what the Lord would have to say to you in this hour. We're living in perilous times, critical times. There's people in Israel today who are alive because God said, don't get on that bus. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. And we need not only to have a message, but to be a message. God, work deep in me. You know, there's different realms of relationship with God. And no matter how far you've gone in God, there's further to go. We'll never exhaust the personage of our Lord and Savior. And I believe that he is just hovering around the earth, looking for people whose hearts are open, that he might show himself strong and mighty in their behalf. And he's gathering people together like yourselves in one accord to be in one place that he might come and manifest himself. You know, I could say anything I wanted to say about this gentleman. No matter what adjectives I would use, I would never come to the opinion that God has of you. and his destiny and his choice for your life. You need to know how valuable you are for the kingdom. Very valuable, very important. And the Lord, our God, he wants to have intimacy with you. So I want to encourage you in the days ahead just to press in God. Maybe get a lazy boy or a lazy girl chair and set a weight on him. And to press in. And don't be swallowed up by the media. Don't be swallowed up by all the false prophets that are out there, what they're saying. God is still on the throne. And nothing that man can do can stop the plan of God. And we are a part of his plan. And we're living in the greatest days that there ever has been, because the head is being joined to the body. The anointing is flowing. There's an increase of his presence. And this world is going to see the outworking. This world is going to see the presence of God in his might and power like never before. Yeah, evil's waxing worse and worse, but God's raising up a standard in his people. Tonight, didn't you just feel the Lord with us as we were just sitting here, you know? And within all of us, there's a hunger, there's a thirst like there's never been before. And God is creating that more and more so that he can come and satisfy us and fill us and work something out in us. If you're like I am, you've been through some hard things, some difficult things, some things that have made you weep and shed tears. But that has increased the capacity in you to receive the grace of God. You know, there is a church within the church. There are people who God has allowed to go through circumstances and situations to create a capacity within them that he might fill. You know, if you've been acquainted with tears, you can help somebody who's acquainted with tears. If you've been through hard things in your life, finances and whatever, you can minister to someone else who's been there, because you have sat where they're sitting. And you know what God can do. He can deliver you out of it. Is that right? Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to just share with you just a few little things. One is, we just had a conference at Pinecrest for the pastors called A Choice of Loyalty. Let's say that. A Choice of Loyalty. There's a little book in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth. And there was a woman named Ruth, and she and her husband went to the Moabites. And she had two sons, and when they were there, her two sons married two Moabite women. And over the next few years, Ruth's husband died. And then her two sons died. There she is in a foreign land. Her husband and her sons have passed. And so she hears that God's doing something back in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And she decides to go back to her people. And the two daughter-in-laws decide that they're going to follow her. And she says to them, "Don't, because I have no more sons for you to marry. And even if I had a child tonight, you would not be able to wait that long to marry them." And they both wept. She went a little further and said a similar thing. And Orpha, one of the daughter-in-laws, came and kissed Ruth and wept and went back. And there's a lot of Christians like that today. They love Jesus. They even weep. They'll even kiss. But then they go back. But there was one daughter-in-law. Her name was Ruth. I was mixed up. Naomi is the mother-in-law. Ruth, who said to her mother-in-law, Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people will be my people. And where you're buried, I will be buried." And she went all the way back to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law. She made a choice of loyalty. Orpha made a choice to go back. I want to urge you to make a choice of loyalty to follow the Lord all the way. Have a choice of loyalty to your husband, to your wife, to your children. Have a choice of loyalty to those you worship with in the church. Have a choice of loyalty to God's work and his great commission. Have a choice of loyalty. And when she got back there, little did she know, she met her Boaz. Let's all say that. She met her Boaz. And this Moabite woman, named Ruth, is named in the genealogy of Jesus. For Boaz and she had a son. Her loyalty brought her into a place of having a husband and being in the lineage of Jesus. If you're loyal to the Lord, you don't know what God's got planned in the future. Where He'll take you. What great joy, what destiny has all laid out for you in the future. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got a great destiny for you. But turn to your other neighbor and say, but you got to be loyal. You got to be faithful. Yes. And so we're living in a day when people are falling away from the faith, or falling away and from their mates, from their children. But make a choice of loyalty. I can remember once I was praying and I was weeping before the Lord, and I said, "Oh Lord, I want to finish strong. I don't want to fall away from You. I love You, Lord. I know other preachers have messed up as they got older. I don't want to do that, Lord. Lord, please don't let me go." And then I felt the Lord speak to me and said, "And Jay, I need you also. He has an affection for me as well as I do for Him. And He's going to keep me." Turn to your neighbor and say, He's going to keep you. Yes. Now I want to share with you something else. Today, we have a problem, especially in the church in America, and that is we don't believe in absolute truth any longer. There was a poll done recently that only 10% of Americans believe in absolute truth. And Barnum did a statistical study among born-again Christians who feel that only a third of them say there's absolute truth. And among born-again teenagers, only about 10% of them feel there's absolute truth. But there is absolute truth. First of all, the first commandment's got to be first. We've got to love God with our total capacity. And we got to love this God who so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that if we would believe in Him, we would not perish. We got to know that there's absolute truth, that we're not to make any graven images. That we're not to take the Lord's name in vain. That's absolute truth. That's not just swearing, but saying God told me this and that when God had nothing to do with it. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's absolute truth. God would have us 6 days on and 1 day off. That's His routine He set up for us. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. You young people are here, I want to tell you, your mother and father are probably the best friends you'll ever have in your life. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. We have so much of that today, don't we? Oh, Lord, it's absolute truth. We're not to take somebody's name or somebody's life in vain. And thou shalt not commit adultery. So many people say, well, it seems right. It seems good. This is the situation. But thou shalt not commit adultery. When God says thou shalt not, you know what He's really saying? Don't hurt yourself. Please don't hurt yourself. If you do this, you're going to hurt yourself. Please don't do it. Thou shalt not steal. That's absolute truth. We're not to steal. And isn't it wonderful these Ten Commandments have always been true? They're true today and they always will be true. I'm thankful in heaven there'll be no stealing. Wow. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You know, somebody can work a long time to build up a reputation and then it can be cut down in a hurry. And the media loves to do that today, don't they? Cut people down. But we're to remember Noah's sons. Noah, for 120 years, built an ark. And one time, he got drunk. But two of his sons backed in and covered him over and hid his nakedness. I tell you, a lot of times it would be better if we would just cover over somebody's sin. And isn't that what Jesus has done, is covered over our sin and blotted it out? And then absolute truth, thou shalt not covet. And that is a great sin in America. Ah, I'd like to have that SUV. Ah, I'd like to have that car. Oh, them golf clubs. Oh, that TV. Thou shalt not covet. You know how to overcome that? Be a giver. Somebody asked St. Augustine, why do you think God made so many poor people? And he thought and he said, I think it's because he loves them. And another purpose is that you and I could have coveting broken in our life. Because if our emphasis is on giving to the poor and lending to the Lord, we will not be coveting things. Ah, so that's a way to overcome coveting. Apologize for my voice tonight, Doc, but I didn't see you earlier, but you can pray for me. Okay, so absolute truth is so important. And we need to know this, that God loves us. That's absolute truth. We need to know we're not our own. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. That's absolute truth. We need to know he's coming back again for us. That's absolute truth. And we need to know that no matter where a person's been or what they have done, God will forgive them if they ask him to. That's absolute truth. And we can be confident with that. It gives us great confidence in our Christian walk if we remember those things. Well, the Jewish people were asked to come up to Jerusalem at least 3 times a year. And there was an annual festival. And one of them was the day of Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Day of First Fruits. It was a celebration of the first buds of harvest that were coming to pass. In the spring we had Passover, and now Pentecost, and then Feast of Tabernacles at the end of harvest in the fall. And this Pentecost was 50 days after the resurrection. Wow. What? And it's so powerful that on that day God chose to use Peter. The Bible says when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And one of the first gifts he gave was Peter, who had fallen 50 days earlier. Ah, doesn't that give you good hope? And the angel told the woman, go and tell Peter and the others he's not here, he's risen from the dead. I want Peter to know this right off, that though he denied me, I have risen and I'll see him in that upper room. That's the heart of God. That he will restore us. And Peter was restored, and he preached a message, and 3,000 men were added to the church. That gives me great hope. That though I fall, I'm not utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold me. But on the day of Pentecost, it says in Acts chapter 2, when it had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Let's say one accord. Let's say one place. We need to be in one accord. We need to be in one place. Husbands and wives, family, church. God puts such a priority on unity. Your opinion and mine doesn't make much difference, but I'll tell you what does make a difference, that we are in unity, for we can work together. And the Lord wants us to work together. He wants us to flow together. He wants us to be one with him and one with one another. You know what? There's certain differences in life that aren't meant to be solved. You know? She's got hair and I don't have any. That's a difference. We can't solve that. I can't anyways. You know, it's something to be lived with. And there's differences in the church that love should bridge over. A friend of mine was going to speak at a church and a woman grabbed his coat and said, are you pre-mid or post-trib? He said, honey, tell me what you are. I'll be that tonight so we can get along. We'll get along tonight, okay? Because I'm going to be what you believe tonight. And suddenly, say that. Suddenly. Read the book of Acts again. There's suddenlies all the way through the thing. And I want you to know, we're living in a time now with suddenlies. There's Palestinians who are suddenly having a dream or a vision or seeing the Lord Jesus himself and recognizing who he really is. And suddenly, oh God, suddenly come and visit. We need to live in a time of expectation, Lord. Anytime you want to come, you're welcome. We appreciate your presence. We love you. We respect you. You're welcome. Come with your suddenly. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, not a rushing wind, but as a rushing wind. They were describing it here. The power of God came. Say, the power of God came. Oh, man, that second song in there. The power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. Divine presence. Suddenly, the power of God. Suddenly, divine presence was there. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, brethren, let's continue to be in one place and one accord. Let's continue to have our hearts in harmony with one another and with Him, that suddenly He can come and fill us once again. Suddenly He can come and do a wonder among us, or a healing, or something can happen among us. Oh, Lord, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in our life. You know, sometimes we're so busy in our life, we need to just stop. And the Bible says when Moses was going to do his chores or whatever, he seen a burning bush and he turned. And when the Lord saw that he turned, the Lord began to speak to him. And the first thing he said is, take your shoes off. You walked in your strength long enough. Now you'll walk in mine. Oh, brethren, let's say, Lord, you can come to me anytime. I know I got to go down to the market today, and I got to go over and pay the bills. But Lord, if you come and have another agenda today, I'm available. Let's say that, I'm available. I'm available, Lord. I am available. Hallelujah. I'm available. And they began to speak with other tongues. You know, what a privilege it is when God would fill us to the brim where we begin to speak in other tongues. Oh, this was good in the beginning here. We spent time in His presence. We were soaking in His presence. Say soaking. Oh, soaking in His presence. Oh, God, I want more of you. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under the heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own tongue. They were amazed and they marveled, saying one to another, look, are not these who speak Galileans? And so God manifested himself through them as they spoke in tongues. Some of them were natural languages that these people from other places could hear the wonders of God in their own tongue. Oh, the wonders of God. And verse 11, we heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God, the magnificent, the splendid, the grand, the beautiful, the excellent, the favorable wonders of God. I Am Missions, which I'm a part of, we have a division called Youth Ablaze where we're training young people and they're going out to do evangelism. They just went about 2 weeks ago to Uganda, and they worked with young people in Uganda, and they trained them for about a week, and then they took the young people into the marketplace to begin ministering evangelism. And these young people, there was a man there who was totally blind, and they were so full of the Holy Ghost, they said, could we pray for you? And they laid hands on him, and his eyes opened, and he could focus, and immediately he could see. Oh, God, we need to see wonders like that more often. We need to see it right here in America. And I believe God wants to do that. I believe God wants to use ordinary people like you and me. You see, when I get done speaking, I want to get down here. You know why? Because the Lord is coming back to be joined to His body, not to the pulpit. And God wants to use you and every one of you in marvelous things beyond, you know, we've read and we've heard stories, but God wants us to experientially to enter in now. Father, I just pray that upon this congregation, Lord, that experientially they could enter into what you have in this hour. Lord, there can be such an openness here that you could move by your Spirit, Lord, to manifest the wonders and the works of God through these people, corporately and individually, right in their workplace, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. And Peter, who 50 days before had denied the Lord, I don't know him. He even cursed about it. I don't know him. But God touched him because God saw beyond his words, he saw his heart. Do you remember before that they were out fishing one night? And Jesus came walking on the water. And Peter says, "Is that you, Jesus? Is that you? I never seen you walk like that before on water. Is that you, really? If that is you, Jesus, give me the word. I want to come. I love you so much. I want to be where you are." You see, that was to Peter there. He had a heart for the Lord. And though his frailty of his humanity caused him to deny the Lord knew his heart. And the Lord restored him. Say, the Lord restored him. Say, the Lord restored him. You know what? If you know some people have fallen away tonight, I want you to know that God can restore them. You know, and I tell you, we need to sometimes go to people who are so broken down and just say, the Lord loves you very much. You haven't done too much. Listen, he paid the price for everything. We need to love people and just share his presence. Give people some hope. And Peter stood up, all the boldness. Ah, this is Pentecost. This guy who denied the Lord now stands up. Say, now stands up. With the 11, and he raised his voice. And he said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. This man who denied the Lord, now he says, heed my words. These are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, Joel chapter 2. This is that which was spoken of hundreds of years ago is happening today. And we need to know that stuff that has been spoken many days before is happening today. And say, it will happen with me. Say it. It will happen with me. Say, it will happen in this church. It will happen with this church. Oh, I feel a quickening on that. God, give us a gift of faith to believe. Say that with me. God, give us a gift of faith to believe. To believe beyond our normal. And it shall come to pass in the last days. How many believe we're living in the last days? All right, so this is what's going to happen. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I will pour my spirit out on black flesh, white flesh, oriental flesh. I will pour out my spirit on every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. My spirit shall be poured out. Thank you, Lord. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, I'm still prophesying a little, so I must be a son yet. And your young men shall see visions. I'm still seeing a vision now and then. But I am maybe getting older because I do dream dreams. I'm kind of in middle age, maybe. Yeah, night vision, that's it. Oh, God, hallelujah. And you see, under this new covenant, God wants all of us to be anointed, to be priests, to stand between people and between God. God wants us all to hear. It's not just professional clergy, but we can all see dreams. We can all prophesy. God wants to use all of us. Be released in Jesus' name. Just close your eyes, man. Be released in Jesus' name. Be released. Be released for the outworking of God. Be more open to what God has in this hour. And my men servants, and on my maid servants, and I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above. There'll be signs and wonders and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. You know what? Is America going to have some terrorism? Probably. Is life in America going to change? Probably. But we know who's still on the throne. And he will keep us. God kept Noah. God kept Joseph. God will keep us. And I will show wonders in heaven and above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Is that speaking of pollution, possibly? Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is pouring out his spirit on everyone. Everyone you've ever seen has felt the presence of God. They may not have understood it. But if they will respond and call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. We need to articulate that more every day. When you meet somebody in CVS drugstore and they're waiting on you, and just say, do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus? Just some little thing, just to touch them, to open up to them. I want to encourage you to be more vocal. I want to urge you to show the works of Jesus in your life. Reach out to your neighbor. Reach out to people. I've been trying to practice this more in my own life, and some of the worst people who I would think never would be interested in God, if I could just show them a little love and just share a little something. There was a neighbor of mine drunk one night, and I went to see him, and he got so mad, he grabbed my coat, and he spun me around and threatened all kinds of things. And I said, Bob, you're drunk. And then I said, I'll come back another night. And he followed me out the car, and he grabbed me and threw me over the hood of the car, and he was going to... I said, Bob, I'll come back another time. You know what? I've had the privilege of having him come to our church and sit in a chair right beside me and weep and pour his heart out to God. You know why? I showed him love. I turned a cheek. You know, oh, God. Say, God can touch Bob. God can touch anybody. And sometimes when you're in a tough circumstance, your boss passed you over, wrote you up with a bad report or something, you need to just turn the cheek and love them anyways. Then they'll know that your love is genuine and that Jesus has come in the flesh. Oh God, thank you. So I want to encourage you that we're living in a time of miracles and wonders and signs that God wants to do in our midst. That he wants to, along with the preaching, he wants signs and wonders to confirm it. And Lord, we thank you for that tonight. And they were so readily available in the early church, and I believe they're readily available now. There's a move of God. I've been all over the world, in Africa. In Latin America, there's such a move of God, and now it's time for Europe and North America to join the move of God. And folks like yourself who've been praying and believing and soaking, you're prime candidates. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a prime candidate. Prime candidate for God to pour a spirit out on you. Oh, yes. So, brethren, remember there is absolute truth. We want the things of the Spirit, right? But we also need the things of the Word. Because all Word, you're going to dry up. All Spirit, you're going to blow up. The Word and the Spirit, and you'll grow up. Okay. So we need absolute truth. We need to remember the Ten Commandments. We need to remember that God has an order for how life should be. And then we need to remember to have loyalty. Loyalty to our Lord. Loyalty to our mates, to our family. Even loyalty to the call of God. Loyalty to the church he's put us in. Loyalty to the community he has us living in. Paul said, I would be cut off and accursed that Israel might be saved. Can you say that about your community? Oh, God. If it would help my community be saved, I'd give up my salvation. And of course, we know that wouldn't be it. But he gave himself that brethren might be saved. And so let's be loyal to the Lord. Loyalty is so very important in this day and in this hour. And then let's remember we're living in a time of signs, wonders, and miracles. God's pouring out his Spirit. And just get a lazy boy chair somewhere. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You know, you can have church by yourself. You can have church without the music even. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. I like to go to some black churches and preach. And I like to see an old mama get up. She'll say, nobody can do me like Jesus. Nobody can do me like Jesus. Oh, brother, hallelujah. Well, that's a good testimony, isn't it? Say it with me. Nobody can do me like Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. Glory. Ooh. Well, I'm feeling good. Let me just pray. For we pray in the wonderful and the matchless name of Jesus tonight and for his glory. Amen and amen. As they say in Jamaica, please keep sweet. Oh, keep sweet. The Lord bless you. Amen.